I assume this cup is for Trey and I. All right, I appreciate it. All right, as you've made your way to, or are making your way to 1 Samuel chapter 20, I wanted to have the opportunity to introduce myself. My name is Dylan Arroyo. I lead out the team from Pensacola Christian College. I graduated from PCC about 3 years ago in 2014 with a degree in sports management. Growing up, I always enjoyed sports, had a heart for that. So as I went off to PCC, I figured it was a good route for me. And as I went through the program, I felt the Lord calling me to camp ministries. I love working with teenagers, with kids. So as I look towards my future, that's what I'm looking to do. But currently, and for the past 3 years, I've traveled the country 48 weeks out of the year. During the summer, I spend it with a group of guys going to different church and camp ministries. And then 8 months out of the year, I travel by myself, going to two or three schools a day, speaking to 1,000 or 2,000 students every 4 months as I travel around the country. And it's been a great opportunity. The Lord has taught me a lot through it. And through that, I've truly gained a heart for Christian education. One thing I always encourage students, young people, parents, grandparents, as you look towards your young people to do, is as you look at that next step in your life, to prayerfully consider that next step, not only academically, but spiritually as well. Pastor was right. We are just one of many great Christian colleges out there, and I would encourage you that as you head out this evening to stop by our table, pick up some information about the college, grab some CDs, get some good music for your homes, for your cars. I would highly encourage it as you go out this evening. And I do hope that the guys were encouragement and a challenge to you as well. You've made your way to 1 Samuel 20. I want to begin our evening with a story. A story that I imagine everyone in here has heard before, young or old. It is the story of the tortoise and the hare. Maybe as a young person you heard this story of a turtle and a bunny rabbit that go on a race. As they go on this race, it comes to an end, and of course, the turtle wins. And the whole moral and picture of this story is the slow and the steady win the race. Now, I don't know about you, but when I heard this as a young boy for the first time, first thing I thought was, that don't make no sense. I mean, I've seen a turtle and I've seen a bunny rabbit. There's just no way that could happen to me. It wasn't logical. You know, as a young boy, there were a lot of things I thought, it's not logical. And you know, there is a verse in Scripture that made me think that same thought. I thought, that doesn't make any sense. It's in Matthew chapter 20, verse 27. Let me quote it for you. God's Word says in Matthew 20, 27, and whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Let's bow for prayer this evening. Dear Heavenly Father, God, Lord, I thank you for this time that you've allowed for us to gather together in your name. What an opportunity, Lord. I thank you for the music we were able to hear that lifted your name on high, Lord, the message we heard through song. And Lord, as I open up your word and share this message you've laid on my heart, Lord, I pray that you would move me out of the way, that you would speak through me, that each of us in here can take a step closer in our walk with you. Lord, we love you and we praise you, and in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Matthew 20, 27, and whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. As I told you at the young age, as I was a young boy, I thought, that doesn't make any sense. Whosoever will be chief. Let's think about this. A chief is the head over his tribe. He's the king over his nation. He's the head of the pack, I guess you can say. But the verse goes on to say, let him be your servant. Servant is the lowest of the low. As I read this verse, I found extreme opposites. You have the chief, you have the leader, and then you have the servant. And as a young boy, I thought, well, that's not like any leader I've ever heard of. When I see a leader, I see someone leading the way, telling people what to do. And as I saw this, I thought, that doesn't make any sense to me. But you see, as I grew into knowledge of the Word of God, as I grew older, what I came to realize was that in order for us to be a true Christ-honoring leader, the leader that Matthew 20 talks about, we first must learn to be a servant. Think of our greatest example of all, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who came upon this earth in the form of a servant. The greatest servant of all was the greatest leader of all. And as I realized this, I realized that as each of us in here today wants to see this nation led back to Christ, as we want to see our churches, our communities led back to Christ, well, we must first learn to be a servant of Christ. What I want to share with you this evening is an example of what a servant ought to look like. In 1 Samuel chapter 20, we find that example, but I want to give you a little background to where we're looking at. At this point in 1 Samuel, Saul is king, but because of his disobedience to God, God no longer saw it fit for Saul to be king. He knew he must anoint a new and upcoming king. This new king would be none other than a young shepherd boy by the name of David. I'm sure you've heard of him before. David in this passage is truly starting to step into the scene, I guess you can say. Soon after being anointed in private to be the next and upcoming king, he did this small task of slaying an over 9-foot giant. And he did it with a slingshot and a few smooth stones. It was amazing what God was able to do through David. But you know, people start to talk about David. They start to talk about how miraculous this young man is. In chapter 18 of 1 Samuel, I want to read a couple verses for you. 1 Samuel 18, verse 7. And the women answered one another as they played and said, Saul hath slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s. And Saul was very wroth, and the saying displeased him. And he said, they have ascribed unto David 10,000s, and to me they have ascribed but thousands. And what can he have more but the kingdom? And Saul eyed David from that day and forward. So you see, the woman, they start to ascribe unto David tens of thousands. Yet to King Saul, they've ascribed but thousands. And as King Saul catches wind of this, he begins to become jealous, angry. What can this young man have more than me? I mean, what can he have more than the kingdom? See, Saul becomes so angry, so jealous, he attempts to kill David. As you continue to read in verse 10, we read, and it came to pass on the morrow that the evil spirit from God came upon Saul, and he prophesied in the midst of the house. And David played with his hand as at other times, and there was a javelin in Saul's hand. And Saul cast the javelin, for he said, I will smite David even to the wall with it. And David avoided out of his presence twice. See, Saul's become so angry, so jealous of David, he attempts to kill him twice before David goes into hiding. Now, before we move much further, we must look at another character in this passage, and that is the son of King Saul, Jonathan. Jonathan happened to be the best friend of David, who his father was looking to kill. But as David has gone into hiding, him and Jonathan come together to devise a plan. The plan was to let David know if it was safe or not to come back, or if Saul was still looking to kill him. The plan was laid out as such. At an appointed time, David would be hiding out in a field. At this same appointed time, Jonathan would go to this field with a little lad. As Jonathan went into this field, he would continue and begin to shoot three arrows. He'd shoot these three arrows and he'd send the lad out after him, and he would give one of two signs. Either he would yell out to this lad and say, the arrow is beyond thee. This was a sign to David that it was not safe to come back, that Saul was still looking to kill him. Or he would tell this lad, the arrow is on this side of thee. This being a sign to David, of course, that it was safe to come back. And this is the passage I would like to take a look at this evening. 1 Samuel chapter 20, look with me in verse 35. 1 Samuel chapter 20, verse 35. And it came to pass in the morning that Jonathan went out to the field at the time appointed with David and a little lad with him. And he said unto his lad, run, find out now the arrows which I shoot. And as the lad ran, he shot an arrow beyond him. And when the lad was come to the place of the arrow which Jonathan had shot, Jonathan cried after the lad and said, is not the arrow beyond thee? And Jonathan cried after the lad, make speed, haste, stay not. And Jonathan's lad gathered up the arrows and came to his master. But the lad knew not anything. Only Jonathan and David knew the matter. And Jonathan gave his artillery unto his lad and said unto him, go, carry them to the city. You know, as I've read through these verses and studied this passage, really when I do my devotions in general, I like to place myself in the shoes of those I study. I like to see it from their perspective. And as I studied this passage specifically, a thought crossed my mind. The thought crossed my mind that in my life, there may never come a time where I am ever a king over a nation. I could even venture off this evening. I could say that I imagine that none of us in here tonight will ever be a king over a nation. I'd be pretty safe to say that. I could take it a step further. I imagine that no one in here this evening will even be the son or daughter of an earthly king over a nation. Now, I'm not sure about you, but I'm pretty positive that I will never take down an over 9-foot giant with a slingshot and a few smooth stones. I'm not even sure if I've shot a slingshot before, so that would be difficult for me. But you know, as I looked through these verses, as I studied this passage, there was one that stuck out to me. There was one that I felt I could see the perspective of, one that I felt I could place myself in the shoes of, and that's the lad that we find in this passage. You see, church family, as you look at this lad, as you read through this passage, what you find is a true example of what a servant ought to look like. And what I want to share with you this evening is three areas that we find this lad served in that we can apply to our own lives as we seek to be that servant leader that Matthew 20 talked about. The first area I'd like to look at in this passage is how this lad served without question. Verse 36, this was Jonathan speaking here. He says, "And he said unto his lad, Run, find out now the arrows which I shoot." I want to pause there for a moment, and I want us each in here tonight to place ourselves in the shoes of this lad. I want you to see things from his perspective. So at this moment, you are the lad, and I am your master. And I come to you and say, "All right, lad, I have a job for you. At an appointed time, no earlier, no later, at this appointed time, we're going to go out to a field. As I go out into this field, I'm going to proceed to shoot 3 arrows. As I shoot these 3 arrows, I want you to run out after them. I want you to collect those arrows, and then you're going to hurry on back to me. I'm going to give you my artillery, and then you're going to head back." You know, as I began to think like this lad, as I began to try to see it from his perspective, I began to have a lot of questions. You know, first of all, "Master, what's the big deal about this appointed time? We're going out into a field to shoot 3 arrows, and then we're headed back. I mean, what's the big deal about the timing?" And "Master, while I'm thinking about it, you want to go out into this field, and you want to shoot 3 arrows, and you want me to go and retrieve those arrows? I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but aren't you the son of a king? I mean, don't we have thousands of arrows, and you want me to go and retrieve 3 arrows? You know, as I thought of this lad, I began to think of several questions. But as you read the end of verse 36, we read, "And as the lad ran, he shot an arrow beyond him." Well, not a single question. Again, in verse 38, it says, "And Jonathan cried after the lad, Make speed, haste, stay not." Again, thinking like this lad, I think, "Master, what's the big rush? I mean, it's just you and me. You know, why are we rushing out here?" But as you read the end of verse 38, it says, "And Jonathan's lad gathered up the arrows and came to his master." Again, not a single question. You know, I began to think of this lad. I began to look at how he was serving without question. What I realized is, this lad had trust in his master. He had faith in his master. I want to point something out to you. At the end of verse 36, it says, "And as the lad ran, he shot an arrow beyond him." This lad was already running out there when his master was shooting arrows. Now, I don't know about you, but there's not many people I trust to shoot arrows while I'm running out in that direction. I mean, this lad, he trusted his master. He was serving without question. So then I began to think of my own life. As we begin to think of ours, church family, how often do we question our master? How often do we question God's timing? How often do we question the arrows he sends out for us to go and retrieve? You know, I meet many people in my travels, and what I've come to realize, Everyone goes through hard times. It's true. Everyone goes through trials and difficulties and fears. But my question would be, are we questioning God? Are we saying, Lord, why is this happening to me? Or do we continue to serve, realizing we serve the one that knows it all? Amen. You know, as I think of my own life, as I think of areas I've questioned God in, one sticks out above the rest. It's my biggest fear. Growing up, if you were to know me or even to this point, you'd realize my biggest fear has and probably always will be public speaking. Maybe you have the same fear. Speaking in front of crowds has always been a big fear of mine. I remember when I was 15 years old is the first time I got up to speak in front of a group of people. It was 14 teenagers. I was in my youth group and my youth pastor forcefully encouraged me to give this devotional. I thought it was only 5 minutes. I could do that. I didn't always grow up in church. I didn't really have the know-it-all to know how to write an outline. So as I wrote this devotional, it wasn't an ABC 1-2-3 type of devotional. I wrote it out like an essay. I thought anybody can stand up there and read a piece of paper for 5 minutes. So I stood up there that day with my Bible and my essay in hand, and I began to read. As I began to read, I began to shake, and it wasn't just my hands. I began to shake from head to toe, and it wasn't long after that I began to sweat, and it wasn't normal sweat. I was like profusely sweating, and then it wasn't long after that I began to cry. Now, I will say this, crying in your 15th, not a good idea. Don't worry, I'm not going to cry tonight. It was horrible. I thought, Lord, why are you doing this to me? You know my fears. You know what I struggle with. Why would you allow this to happen? You know, as I went through my high school years, it never seemed to get better. But then I went off to college. I thought it might get better. I was wrong. As I went off to college, I was no longer in front of 14 teenagers I knew my whole life. I was in front of 20 to 25 people in my speech classes that I had never met before. And not only that, there was a teacher in the back of the room, you know, taking notes when I move my hands like I always do and walk around. I didn't get a good grade for that. And I will say this, if you cry, you don't get a good grade. Again, I thought, you know, wow, Lord, why are you doing this to me? I mean, you know my struggles and my fears. Why are you allowing this to happen? As I graduated college, I was offered the opportunity to travel the country 48 weeks out of the year, spending my summers with a group of guys, going to different church and camp ministries, spending my school year going to 2 or 3 schools a day, speaking to thousands of students a month. And as I was offered that position, I began to look back. I began to look back at all the struggles I'd been through. I began to look back at all the difficult times, all the times I thought, you know, Lord, why are you doing this to me? All the times I questioned Him, and what I realized was God was preparing me for this giant in my life. You see, through those hard times, through those difficulties, what I learned was that in my biggest areas of weakness and my biggest weaknesses, that's where God's strength shows through the most. And I would encourage you, church family, maybe you don't have the same fears or weaknesses that I do, but in those areas of struggles, in those areas of difficulty, that you'd give your life to the one that knows it all, allowing His strength to show through your life. People ask me often, do I still have this fear of speaking? Absolutely. You'll find me before every service praying, asking God to just calm my fears, to really move me out of the way, to speak through me, because what I realized was that strength is not in me. I know my weaknesses, but I know God's strength is enough to last for me. And I would encourage you in those areas of struggle to get on your knees. Call out to God and allow God to take your weaknesses and turn those into your strengths. This lad, he served without question. Amazing. But he also served without understanding. In verse 39, we had read this earlier. It says, but the lad knew not anything. Only Jonathan and David knew the matter. I find this incredible. The lad had no idea of the circumstance at hand. He had no idea he was letting David know whether it was safe or not to come back. As we read through the passage, you saw the arrow was beyond him. It was not safe for David to go back. Think with me. As I read through verses, sometimes I like to think, what if? As we read through this passage, think, what if the lad had never served? Oh, what if David never received the sign it was not safe to go back? What if David went back? What if David was killed? If you read this passage before, there would have been a dramatic change. And you may think, oh, Brother Dylan, would that have really happened if the lad didn't serve? Well, I don't know, but what if it did? Church family, how many opportunities do we miss out on? Because when we're called to take that step to serve or called to serve in this area, we think, I just don't know. I'm not sure what might happen if I serve in that area. Let me share an example with you. This happens in my life often. Maybe you're out in public with a group of friends. Maybe you're at work in a work environment with your work buddies. Or maybe you're just at a gas station and you feel the Lord tugging at your heart to share the gospel with someone. Feel like you want to share the message of Jesus Christ, and maybe you found yourself thinking, oh, what if they reject me? Oh, what if they make fun of me? What if they yell at me? And you think, I can't serve. Share another example with you. Maybe you've thought of inviting someone to church. Maybe your neighbor going, knocking on their door, saying, hey, come on out. It would be a great time. But then you think, oh, what if they slam the door in my face? What if they think I'm a bad neighbor? I'll share another one with you. Maybe you felt the Lord calling you into ministry. Maybe you're a young person. You feel the Lord's calling you to serve Him with your life. And you begin to think, oh, what if He calls me to the mission field? Or what if He calls me to be a pastor or youth pastor and He doesn't provide for my family? And as I began to think of all these questions, as I began to think of all these excuses, what I thought of was a passage in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. God's word tells us, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And this is important. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. You see, church family, we're not to rely on what little understanding we have. We're to rely on the One that knows it all, allowing Him to guide our steps daily. Psalms 119, 105, thy word is the lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You know, I find that verse interesting. If you were to study, the lamp, the light it's talking about, is just a lantern. A lantern that lights the steps right in front of you. I mean, gives you that step there and that step there and that step there. But that's what God's Word does for us. As we get into God's Word daily, it guides this step and it guides that step. And though we may not see 10 years down the road, though we may not see 10 days down the road, we're to put our faith and the trust in the One that knows it all and allow Him to guide our lives daily. Amen. Continuing to serve, continuing to take those steps. This lad, finally, though, he didn't only serve without question. He didn't only serve without understanding. He served without reward. In verse 40, it says, and Jonathan gave his artillery unto his lad and said unto him, go, carry them to the city. As you read that verse, you will find a no thank you. You will find no token of appreciation. You won't even find recognition. The lad wasn't even named. He was just the lad. It wasn't little John or little Sue. He was the lad here. He didn't receive recognition. He didn't receive a reward. He didn't receive a thank you. So I began to think, well, why did this lad serve then? And what I realized was he was serving simply to serve his master. The question I have for each of us in here tonight is, why do we serve? Why? Is it for what we can gain here? For the thank yous? For the recognition? For the reward? Why ought we to serve, church family? Why? I found my answer as I thought of the greatest servant of all time, Jesus Christ, the sinless Son of God that gave His life for each and every one of us. But why did He do it? Why? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, and catch this, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. You see, it was not for some sort of reward, for some sort of recognition. Jesus Christ, He served for the joy that was set before Him. And if that's not the purpose of why we serve tonight, we need to get that right this evening, church family. If we're not serving for that joy that has been set before us, if we're not serving for those heavenly treasures rather than those earthly treasures, we need to get that right this evening. You see, you can serve, but you can serve for the totally wrong purpose. I'd encourage you as you look at this lad. He's a small example, but there's some great truth in how we ought to serve that we see in the life of this lad. You know, as I think of the lad here, there's a man that comes to my mind. His name is Nate Saint. Maybe you've heard his story before. Nate Saint's a missionary supply pilot, and right off the bat, when I hear pilot, I think of one that doesn't receive much recognition. Maybe you've flown before. I've flown quite a few times in my life, and there's never come a time in my life where I've gone to the cockpit and met my captain, you know, shook his hand, asked him questions. I just get on the plane, and I get off the plane. They don't receive much recognition. Now, Nate Saint, he received even less. He wasn't flying people around. He was flying objects around. He was flying supplies around. He's one that didn't receive much recognition. But you know, as Nate was serving, he flew over a tribe known as the Alcas Indian tribe. And as he flew over this tribe, he had a burden placed on his heart by the Lord for those people, to bring the gospel to them. So he began to ask around about this tribe, what they were known for, and what he heard back was that anyone that had come in contact with them, anyone that had been able to go to the tribe, was killed. They were never heard from again. But Nate had this burden on his heart. So what he began to do is, as he flew over with his supplies, as he was serving, he would drop packages off. Drop them off as he flew over to show that he was friendly, to show these people he had something to share with them. I mean, he had the gospel message. It wasn't long after this that Nate got a few men together and they decided to land on a beach outside of where the tribe was. They were going to bring the gospel to this people. As they landed on this beach and began to set up camp, this tribe came out and killed every last one of those men. If I were to stop the story there, you'd think, what was it for? That was completely in vain. It was for nothing. But if you were to continue the story, what you'd hear is, because of the sacrifice that those men made, the gospel was brought into that tribe. What I find amazing, Nate Saint's own family was able to be a part of that mission, was able to be a part of that group of people that brought the gospel in because of the sacrifice that those men made. You know, when I think of Nate Saint, I think of one who served without question. I don't know about you, church family, but I know if the Lord called me to go to a people that killed everyone they came in contact with, you better bet I'd have some questions. But you know what? Nate continued to serve. He was one that served without understanding. The only thing he knew was that if he brought the gospel there, he could be killed. But he continued to serve. I found a man that served without these earthly rewards, but a man that served for the joy that was set before him. As we think of Nate Saint, as we think of this lad, let me encourage you, church family, to evaluate how you serve your Savior tonight. Are you serving without question? Are you serving without understanding? Are you taking that step? Are you serving for the right purpose? You know, I began our time with talking about Matthew 20:27. Whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. You know, what I've realized as I've traveled around is, as we are in desperate need of leaders. Our churches, our communities, our state, our nation, desperately in need of leaders. But we must first take that step to serve. You see, if we hope to lead this nation back to Christ, well, that begins with us becoming the servant of Christ, becoming that servant of others, because when we begin to serve, that is when we will begin to lead others back to Him. Let's bow for prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this time again that you've allowed for us to gather together in your house. Lord, what an opportunity. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity you gave me to open your word and to share a passage you've laid on my heart. And I pray that each of us in here, Lord, we would strive to serve you with our lives, Lord, that we may better lead others to you through the way we live our lives. We love you, Lord, and we do praise you. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.